Well, now to Washington and a unanimous ruling today from the Supreme Court, which upheld laws against so-called faithless electors. Those are the Electoral College delegates who break their pledge to vote for the presidential candidate who wins the popular vote in their state. The court now says it is constitutional for states to penalize those electors. NPR Washington correspondent Brian Naylor has been looking into the court's decisions today, and he joins us now. Brian, welcome.
Hi, thanks, Peter.
Sure, and let's start with the Electoral College opinion, which says, and I'm reading here, a state may enforce an elector's pledge to support his party's nominee and the state voter's choice for president. Tell me more. What does that mean?
So, as you noted, it was a unanimous decision, and Justice Elena Kagan wrote the opinion. She stated very clearly that the ruling, quote, reflects a longstanding tradition in which electors are not free agents. They are to vote for the candidate whom the state's voters have chosen. So just to back up a bit, there were a handful of electors in Washington State and Colorado in the last presidential election who were pledged to vote for Hillary Clinton, who won their state's popular vote. But instead, they voted for Republicans, Colin Powell and John Kasich. They said they did this in an effort to convince other electors to support someone other than Donald Trump. The electors in Washington who did this were fined $1,000, and the elector in Colorado was replaced, and then they sued to challenge their state's laws. A federal appeals court in Denver upheld the challenge, but the Supreme Court today reversed it and said its ruling would apply to the Washington case as well. There are 32 states in all, and Washington, D.C., that bind electors to vote for the popular vote winner in their states. So in essence, these laws have now been all upheld.
And what do you think this means for the election in November?
Well, you know, there were maybe 10 faithless electors in the last election. But, you know, we've seen twice in the last 20 years that where the winner of the electoral vote didn't win the popular vote. So in a very close election, it could conceivably affect the outcome. And with the 2020 election in under 4 months, there was a concern that there would be electoral chaos if the high court ruled electors were free agents. But that scenario now seems to have been avoided by this decision today.
Brian, in a separate ruling, good news today for people who hate getting robocalls on their cell phone.
Right.
The court upheld a 1991 law that bars robocalls on cell phones. What else did we learn?
Well, sure. If there's one thing that Americans agree on, it's that these computer-generated robocalls are a nuisance. And as you pointed out, Congress banned them, at least to cell phones. But a few years ago, lawmakers created an exemption allowing government debt collectors to make them. And then a group of political consultants challenged the exemption, saying essentially, hey, if the government can make these calls, why can't we make, say, political calls? So in the ruling today, the court determined that the government exemption was unconstitutional, but it let the overall law stand. So basically, neither government debt collectors nor anyone else is supposed to be making robocalls to your cell phone.
They're not supposed to, but as everyone knows, it still happens. Look, Brian, I know there's at least one more major case out there that we're still waiting for. What can you tell us about that?
Well, so yeah, there are a couple that relate to the president's finances. One is whether congressional panels can subpoena the president's financial and business records. Another is whether the Manhattan District Attorney can obtain the president's tax returns as part of a state grand jury investigation. There's also a ruling expected on whether the Trump administration can allow employers to limit women's access to free birth control under the Affordable Care Act.
All right, we're going to keep an eye on those cases. NPR's Brian Naylor, thank you very much.
Thanks, you.